Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Well, good morning. That video was kind of short. I know it wasn't really cringy either, but I like that video a lot because it's like, a skirt. But anyway, good morning. You guys are all looking at me like, who is this dude? Hi. My name is David, and I am the family pastor. So for those of you who don't know me, that's me. Hi, John was talking about me. This is me. I'm David. I'm the family pastor. I'm really glad that you guys are here this morning. I am super pumped about what God has in store today. Man, wherever you are, hi, people online. I know my family is watching online. Wherever you are, whether you're here, you're online, watching later on YouTube, I'm really glad that you guys are here. It's not an accident that you're here. God knew that you were going to be here, and I'm really excited. For those of you who don't know what a family pastor does, a family pastor is basically I get to be over everyone birth through graduating high school and their families. So that means I get to hang out with everybody, which is really cool. I get to hang out with all sorts of people. My wife, Bailey, and I are pretty new here. We've been here for, 3 weeks? Maybe. Well, on staff for like 3 weeks. We've been going here for months. I know that. Thanks, John. We've been here for a little bit, joined staff about 3 weeks ago, and man, we're really excited. We feel like we're already so much a part of every day. We feel like family. So shout out to you guys for being awesome. Keep it up. We're really thankful for all of you. So we have been in this series called Cringeworthy. The Bible says what? And if you've been following on social media, do I need to like move? I'm sorry. If you've been like following on social media or online, on YouTube, whatever, you've been seeing that we've been going through this series. And it's really just talking about passages in the Bible that when you're reading through the Bible, you come to it and it's like, ooh, the Bible really said that? Is that really what God did? And it makes you cringe. John last week talked about what do we do when God says, hey, there's these group of people, go kill them all. Like, go kill them, their families, their livestock. Like, that's pretty heavy. And John did a really good job at breaking that down and seeing, well, what does this actually say? So if you want to check that out, go check it out. I'm not going to preach his sermon again. But that's what we've been going through. It's my turn to share a passage that when I came across it, and I came across it recently, and when I just got to it, we were actually with our E students and finishing up a series. And when I got to it in this passage, I just said, ooh, dang, I've never realized that the story says that. And I looked at my wife, Bailey, and she said, man, that's tough. I was like, yeah, I'm glad we're not them. And so it's going to be great. But I have a question. Kind of want to get the juices flowing. I love asking questions. I love interactive. You don't have to answer this question. But have you ever been in a situation, have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like your back was against the wall? All right, your back's against the wall. You can't really go anywhere. If you stay where you are, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But if you move forward, that could be potentially dangerous. Well, there was a time in my life where that was true for me. I'm going to take you back, all the way back, elementary school. It's PE time, and we're playing dodgeball. Oh, yeah. And I don't want to, like, make a big deal or anything, but the other team was stacked, and it was like all of the athletes and then me, and I was an athlete, but it was like me and all of the people who didn't want to be in PE. They'd rather be like in the classroom, like reading and coloring, which is fine. Like, we need that. We need those kind of people. But it was like me versus LeBron James and like the all-star team. And I was like, there's no way I make it out of this alive. And so we start playing the game, right? And of course, like, I'm staying in because it's dodgeball and I'm awesome. And so like I stay in, right? And then all of a sudden, it's just me. Like, all the other people are out. And I'm like, oh, no. And we have, like, three MLB pitchers on the other side. And I'm like, oh, boy, here it comes. This is the moment I've been waiting for. So my back was against the wall. Literally, my back was against the gym wall. And I was like, the only thing I can do is go forward. And so I go. Like, I dodge a few. And then I have some ammo. So I throw, and I get one guy. Okay, there's two people left. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And so all of a sudden, this guy zips one right at me. And I, like, slide on my knees. It's like the Matrix, just like slow motion. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just dodged that. And I'm like sliding. Well, at the same time, the other guy threw a ball, and so like I see it coming and I catch it, and I get him out, and I like jump up throw it. Most epic game of dodgeball ever. I can't believe SportsCenter didn't cover it, but it was crazy. It was like the craziest thing ever, right? So my back was against the wall, and my only option was to go forward. And I know that's kind of a silly story. There's a lot more serious stories of like your back's against the wall, and like moving forward could be dangerous. Like moving forward could be really hard. But staying where you are also isn't an option. Well, this is the kind of situation our friend Daniel finds himself in. His back is against the wall, and moving forward could cost him his life. But staying where he is, that's not an option either. Daniel in the lion's den is the story that we're going to be talking about today. Now, this is a story that is familiar to a lot of people. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Listen, I love VeggieTales. Any VeggieTales fans in here? Okay, so like this half of the room is good. This half of the room, you're lying. No, VeggieTales. I would watch this VeggieTales on repeat just because I love that God came to the rescue. And I also like love the songs in it. But what we're going to talk about today actually doesn't happen in like the main part of the story. It happens at the end. And VeggieTales doesn't really cover it. So don't go look at the VeggieTales and be like, what, they didn't talk about this. It's not there. So go ahead and find Daniel chapter 6. And we'll dive right in. If you have a phone or a tablet, whatever, or a Bible, go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 6. So when we find Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole thing, don't worry. When we find Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, he's been put in a place of authority. He's been put over all these areas and tasks that he has to be in charge of, him and some other people. There's a new king that's come to town, and the king has a lot of places and a lot of things that he has to do and cover, and so Daniel gets put in charge of a lot of them. Well, Daniel actually gets put in charge of a lot because he's good at his job. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. So the king likes Daniel, and he makes friends with Daniel, and Daniel is actually on his way to running the empire with the king. He's on his way to becoming top dog. It's good news for Daniel. Not very long, though. Let's pick up in verses 4 and 5. It says, the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. All right, so here are some dudes. If you watch VeggieTales, it's like asparagus. So here's the asparagus, right? They don't like Daniel. And they're thinking, oh no, what we gonna do? The king likes Daniel more than me and you. Yeah? Yeah, that's from the VeggieTales. You're welcome. So they get together and they're like, man, this Daniel, like, we gotta get this dude out of here. We don't like him. He's getting more attention than us. And that's not cool. So they go to the king, and they start telling the king all sorts of nice things, things that the king likes. He said, hey, you know, you're pretty great. You should be worshipped. People should worship you. People should only pray to you. So we have this, like, really great idea. Why don't you make this law that nobody can pray to anybody else other than you? And the king is like, I like what you're saying. I like what you say. I want people to worship me. So the king sets up the law. Nobody can pray to anyone else other than me for the next 30 days. Signed, sealed, delivered. There it is. That's a new law. This meant trouble for Daniel. Why? Well, Daniel worshiped God. And so here's Daniel with his back against the wall. They're telling him, hey, you can't pray to your God. But Daniel knows, I have to go to God. I have to worship God. Even if that could cost me my life. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, and what did he do? He knelt down as usual in his room upstairs. With its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house, and they found him praying, asking for God's help. So this law had been signed that said, hey, you're not supposed to pray to anybody but the king. And Daniel goes home, and he starts praying and crying out to God, asking for God's help. And the guys go and they're like, we see you praying to God. Not supposed to do that. And I just, when I read that, I think, and I want to ask you, how do you think you would respond in that situation? How do you think you would respond to someone saying, hey, like, it's the law. You can't pray for however long. You can't pray. You can't read your Bible. You can't gather together. You can't listen to worship music. How do you think you would respond? I think about that sometimes just because I know people who live on the other side of the world where they can't. I hope I would respond faithfully and, you know, continue to worship God, continue to read my Bible, continue to pray. I just think about that sometimes. But this is exactly what the guys who didn't like Daniel, this is exactly what they wanted, right? Like, he fell. He fell for it. So now they can begin to unfold their plan. Let's pick up in verse 12. So they went straight to the king and reminded him of his law. He said, did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except for you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. And he tried to think of a way that he could save Daniel. And he spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. So Daniel gets thrown under the bus. Those guys throw Daniel under the bus. And the king is really sad because now here's one of these guys that he's really counting on, that he really likes. And he gets thrown under the bus. And the king's like, oh no, I'm the bus driver. I'm the one who has to fulfill this law. I got to like carry it through. Well, maybe there's a loophole. So the king is like, maybe I can get him out of it. Verse 15, in the evening the men went together to the king and they said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, there's no law that the king signs can be changed. And when I think of this, I honestly think of like my sister going up to like mom and dad, like, yo, David did this like 3 hours ago and he's not punished yet. Are you going to do something? Come on, like, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for David to get in trouble because that just makes me happy. So would you, like, go ahead, give him the punishment? That's what I think of when I think of these people. Verse 16, so at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve faithfully, rescue you. Verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep all that night. This, like, when I sit and think about it, this is really heavy. Like, Daniel has just been thrown into the lion's den. Now, when you watch the VeggieTales version, right, the lions aren't really like all that big, bad, and tough. Like at the end of it, Daniel's like, bye guys, thanks for the pizza. Like that's not what happened here. Like the lion's den, that's where a place went, people went to get destroyed. Like that's a scary place because lions are ferocious. They attack. They're the ones in charge. If you're ever in a cage with a lion, you're not the one in charge. You don't get to make the decisions. The lion does. And here's Daniel thrown into the lion's den. The guys think they've won. All right, we got rid of Daniel. But morning comes, and the king goes out, and he's like, I don't know, maybe there's some chance that the lions weren't hungry or something. So he goes out, and he calls out, Daniel. And Daniel answers. Daniel answers the king. The Bible tells us that God had shut the mouths of the lion. Like, that's crazy. That's a miracle. That's awesome. Daniel wasn't harmed. And now we get to the cringy stuff. Now we're getting to the part where when I read it, I was like, oh. Verse 21, Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found for he had trusted his God. Cool. Daniel rescued. God gets the glory. Happy ending. Almost. Verse 24. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. And the lions leaped on them and tore them apart, or other translations will say it devoured them before they even hit the floor of the den. Dang. Like, that's tough, brother. And yeah, you read it right. That's what happened. Not only were the men who tricked Daniel punished, but their wives and their children. Now to us, that's crazy. Like, when we think of punishment today, we think just you do the punishment, you serve time. Like, you do the crime, you do the time. Is that how the saying goes? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. That's what I'm thinking of. So we think, like, if you do the punishment, like, you deserve, or the crime, you deserve that punishment. So, like, if Jim Bob goes to Walmart and he steals a candy bar, we expect Jim Bob to get the punishment. We don't expect that Mrs. Jim Bob and Jim Bob Jr. get the punishment too, right? I'm sorry if your name's Jim Bob or you know anybody named Jim Bob, no offense. But, right, we don't think the whole family deserves to get punished, just the person who did that. But there was a few reasons that this happened. A couple different reasons I want us to see why this happened. The first one, in ancient Eastern culture, this is just what you did. This is what the king or the guy in charge would do. Why would you do it? Well, they wanted to make sure that the bad lineage didn't continue. They wanted to make sure that it didn't repeat itself, that there was no trouble in the future. They also wanted to make sure that Jim Bob Jr. didn't come back and kill the people who had killed his father. So they were just cutting all ties, making sure that that never happened again. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that this is showing God takes his enemies seriously. And he takes his promises seriously. Well, what do I mean by that? Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. God makes a promise to a guy named Abraham. And he says, look, the people who bless you, I'll bless them. The people who curse you, I'll curse them. Daniel was one of God's people. And there were these people who were out to get Daniel. God is being faithful to his promise. And that might seem a little harsh, but I don't know about you. I'm really glad God is faithful to his promises. So God is being faithful, and he's showing us God takes his enemies seriously. I want you to think about that, kind of write that down. God takes his enemies seriously. He always has. From the beginning, when the serpent, Adam and Eve, right? He tricks Adam and Eve, and he tells the serpent, he's like, I'm coming for you. Right? We think all through the New or Old Testament, God is fulfilling his promises. Like, here's an example. God fulfilling the promise, saying, like, I'm going to protect my people. Even throughout the New Testament, we see God is protecting, and God is serious when it comes to his enemies. Think of the book of Revelation. When I think of the book of Revelation, man, God is coming back. Jesus is coming back to, once and for all, get rid of the enemy. God takes his enemies very seriously. Did you know that apart from Jesus, the Bible says that you and I are enemies of God? Whoa. Really? We're enemies of God. I haven't done anything like super bad. I might have hit my sister when I was younger, but like that's not too bad, right? I'm an enemy of God? Yeah. Yeah, you are. Let's look. Colossians 1:21 says, "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions." Romans 5:10 says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son." Enemies of God. That's heavy. That's hard to hear. I'm good sometimes. I do this sometimes. I'm good. I try to follow God. Like, I've been a decent person. Doesn't that count? Well, God doesn't do halfway either. The Bible says you're either for him or you're against him. If you're not for him, you're against him. If you're against him, you're an enemy. Well, what happens to enemies? Psalm 92:9 says, your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. Y'all, this is the heavy reality of the gospel. And it is heavy. I feel that. I feel the heaviness of this. That those who don't follow God, those who don't trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, are condemned. Like I said, you're either for him, against him. There's no in between. And this is something that we don't really talk about a whole lot anymore. This is something that doesn't get brought up a whole lot. Sin. Like, it's not fun to talk about sin. I don't like it when people call me out on my sin. Just ask Bailey. I don't like it when people say, hey, what you're doing, like, I don't know if you should be doing that. I don't like that. It's hard telling people about their sin. But the whole point of the gospel is that Jesus came to save hell-bound people. Jesus came to save people from their sins and give them a new life. Let's look at what the Bible says about who we are. I'm going to be flipping back and forth, so if you can't keep up there on screen, begin. Scripture makes a few things pretty crystal clear when it talks about who we are. The first one is this: you and I are sinful. By nature, we are children of wrath. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By nature, we were subject to God's anger or wrath, just like everyone else. That's a scary place to be in judgment, having the wrath of God saying, like, it's coming. So you and I are sinful by nature. We're children of wrath. Number two, because we're sinful and we disobey God, we deserve punishment, right? We do wrong things. Like, if I steal, I deserve the punishment, right? We sin against God. Romans 2, verse 5 says, but because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up a terrible punishment for yourselves, for a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And then the first part of Romans 6:23 says this, and I've been really feeling this lately, for the wages of sin is death. That's heavy. That's hard. That my sins lead to death. And that's what happens when you don't have Jesus. Like, that's the punishment. It's death. It's separation from Jesus. That's what hell is. Hell is being separated from Jesus. That's the worst thing that could happen, is being separated eternally from Jesus. And that's what hell is. So we're sinful by nature, children of wrath. Number two, because we're sinful and we disobey God, we deserve punishment. That makes us enemies. We're enemies of God. Number three, we are indeed enemies, but not enemies without hope. Not enemies without hope. Let's look at the second part of Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8. Says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You and I are sinful. I'm a sinful person. You're a sinful person. The Bible says that everyone is a sinner. We deserve punishment. We deserve to be punished like those men who tricked Daniel. I deserve to be thrown into the lion's den. and have the stone rolled over the door so I couldn't escape. But you know what happened instead? Jesus. Jesus happened. Jesus came, lived a life that I couldn't live, that you can't live, died the death that we deserve, and they put him in a grave, and they rolled the stone over the door, just like they did with Daniel. But y'all, Jesus rolled that stone away himself, and he walked out of the grave, defeating sin and defeating death, dying in our place, even while we were his enemy, even while we're sinners, Jesus came and died. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us that much. The Bible tells us that even though we were enemies of God, his love would triumph. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7 says, "But God's so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace you've been saved. For he raised him from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he's done for us who are united with Christ." How seriously does God take his enemy, sin? How seriously does God take that? He sent his son to die for us, to defeat sin. That's how serious God takes this. We deserve to be separated because we're sinful. I do. But even while we were enemies, Jesus chose to love us. Jesus chose to continue to show us grace that never ends. That's the incredible power of God's love on display. That's God fulfilling his promise, full display for the world to see. Those who are in Christ have freedom and life everlasting. That's good news. You know what that means? It means we're not enemies anymore. Those who are in Jesus, like, we're not enemies anymore. We're no longer enemies. We're sons and daughters. Y'all, that's good news. I don't know about you. I don't want to be an enemy of the all-powerful, almighty God. I want to be a son. I want to call God Father. And because of Jesus, we can. We can call God Father. So my question for you is, where are you? Where are you at with God? Those who are without Christ as Savior will spend eternity without Jesus. That's heavy and that's hard to hear, but that's what the Bible tells us. Those who are with Christ will spend eternity with Christ. Not as an enemy, but as the Bible says, co-heirs. That means we share in the inheritance. That means we can call God Father. We go to him calling Abba, Father. Christians in the room and watching online, I want to talk to you for just a second. Where are you at with God? It's not just I said a prayer once and I'm good forever. Where are you at with God? How's your relationship with the Lord? Are you being faithful even to the lion's den? John talked about last week, if we're not saying yes to God, maybe you're saying, I'll start following Jesus when XYZ, or maybe later, not right now. If we're not saying yes to God, we're saying no. So what are you saying with your words? What are you saying with your words? Are you saying yes to God? But even more importantly, what are you saying with your life? I can say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, and then not live like it. And not act like I can act like a Christian here and then go out the rest of the week and never even think about it again. Is that really me saying yes to Jesus? Don't think so. So what are you saying? Are you saying yes to God, yes to Jesus? Are you being faithful even to the lion's den? God takes his enemies seriously. That's why he sent Jesus, so we wouldn't have to be enemies, so we wouldn't have to be condemned, but we could have life everlasting, so we could be free from the bondage of sin. It's not just a free ticket out of hell, y'all. It's a brand new life. I'm not even close to being the same person I was before Jesus. Radically different. Jesus turned my life upside down. Now, have there been days where I've slipped and I've gone back? Sure. I ran the race perfectly. But Jesus calls me son. I'm a child of the King. It's mind-blowing to me that God would do that. That God would continually love me even despite my failures, despite my flaws. He loves you despite your failures, despite your flaws, despite your shortcomings. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die in your place, so you could have life with him. Listen, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, man, let today be the day. Let today be the day that you say yes. For a long time, I thought I was a Christian. I grew up in church. I was there all the time. I was always the star in the play. I was there, and I was a good kid. But really, I wasn't following God. I wasn't serving God. I didn't love God. I didn't care about. I just went to church because it's what you do. Small town, southern Oklahoma. You go to church on Sunday morning. And then God radically saved me, pulled me out of my sin, pulled me out of my pride, my arrogance, my shortcomings, and he gave me a new life. I mean, if you're in here today and you've never fully said yes to Jesus, said, Jesus, I want you to be the boss of my life, and let that be today. Because only those who follow Jesus, who put their faith and trust in Jesus, get to be with Jesus forever. It's the best decision you can ever make. And I know John says that a lot. You probably hear that a lot, that following Jesus is the best thing that you can ever do. And you know, we say that all the time because it's true. It is. So where are you? Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. We're going to wrap this up. Man, today, and hear this. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. The God of the universe, who created the heavens and the earth, loves you so deeply. I don't know what your life looks like right now. Maybe you're on the mountaintop. Maybe life for you is awesome. And praise God for that. But others of you, maybe life is really hard. Maybe you struggled to make it here this morning just because there's that much weight on your shoulders. And it's hard. You're not so sure about this whole God thing. You're not so sure about this whole faith thing. Can I just tell you that God's big enough for your burdens? He wants them. He wants to carry those. So give them to him. Give your life to Jesus. Because that's the best place that you can be. And there's no magic prayer. There's no special certain thing that we do. It's you. It's you and God. If you've never given your life to Jesus, it can be literally as simple as this. Hey, God, it's me. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. I'm sorry that I've messed up. Jesus, I want you to be the boss of my life. I want you to be my king. Forgive me for failing. Forgive me for my sins. Come in. Take over. Be the king. I know that you came. I know that you died. I know that you rose from the grave. And I want to trust in you. for real. Not just because it's what everyone else is doing, but I want to trust in you, Jesus, because you're good and you're Savior and you're King. And for the believer in the room, you can pray the same thing. Come back to the Father. If you've been wondering, come back and say, God, I'm here. I'm yours. If you want my heart, you got it. It's yours. Listen, if you want to follow Jesus, reach out to us. Talk to one of us. Talk to me. Talk to John. We'd love to have that conversation with you. We'd love to talk about what your next steps can be. And John's going to talk a little bit about that more, but let me pray for you guys, and we'll begin. All right, Father, thank you so much. God, you are good. We want to pause and thank you for who you are. It's hard. This is heavy, God, hearing that our sins separate us from you, that my sins separated me from you. But you sent Jesus so that I wouldn't have to be condemned, so that I wouldn't have to live a life separated from you. You sent Jesus to take my place, to take our place. Father, I pray for every day, God, I pray for everyone who's here, who's watching online, that you would move in their lives, God, that you would consume them with your Spirit, that they would know and trust you like never before. You are King, you are Father, you are Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.